his van. He was called Alpha One. I was in the second van. I was called Troop Dog, I think. And I forget what the third van, but he was the one who led us. And so when he said, he just stopped the song and just said, "I know we can do better than that." I thought about the trip. I said, "That's the way he led us. He led us." That's Alpha One, Alpha One. All right, all right. I am very, very thankful that God has blessed us all to be here on this beautiful Lord's Day. And it's good to see each and every one of you. And we are very thankful for all who have joined in to worship God in spirit and in truth on this beautiful Lord's Day. I want to call your attention to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And I want to read in your hearing, beginning at verse number 14, and we're going to go through verse number 20. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. To follow me in this lesson, I'm going to look at each verse, and I'm going to seek to give an exposition of the verse. Actually, I'm hoping that I can get to verse number 20. In verse number 14, I believe that the importance of faith in the resurrection is what we need to see. Because the Bible says, after he appeared unto the 11, this is the evening of the first day of the week, the very day of his resurrection. This is in the evening of his resurrection. Jesus' resurrection has been witnessed to by women, especially Mary Magdalene, Peter, even the men on the road to Emmaus. Yet, in spite of these eyewitness testimonies, the disciples, the 11 that Jesus appears to, and it's perhaps believed based on John 20, that this first appearance, that Thomas is not there, but he comes later. But notice the Bible says, yet in spite of these eyewitness testimonies, the disciples are still unbelieving. They are unbelieving of the words and the promises. When you think in terms of verse 14, the Bible says that the Lord upbraided them. When the Bible says that the Lord upbraided them, this means that the Lord censured them. The Lord rebuked them. the Lord was very upset with the disciples. And the reason he was upset with them is because in spite of the testimony, in spite of his own words before his death and his resurrection, he told them that the Son of Man would suffer many things, would be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain. But he said that he would be resurrected on the third day. In spite of this, they still had not believed. If one refuses to believe in Jesus and his resurrection on the third day, no man can be saved. The Bible is clear. One must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And in believing, you must believe that he died and was resurrected on the third day, which was the first day of the week. The whole Christian religion is based on that belief. And the reason is because that is the heart of the gospel. This shows in verse number 15, when the Bible says, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. This is the very essence of the good news, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse number 1, notice what the Bible says. Moreover, brethren, this is the Apostle Paul. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Here is the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. In verse number 15, the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, is predicated on the scripture. It is predicated on Jesus fulfilling the scripture, not just his death, burial, and resurrection, which is the very essence of it, but it is based on the scripture. So, verse 14, the importance of faith in the resurrection. In verse number 15, the gospel, which is his death, burial, and resurrection, but it is based on the scripture. So what I learned from these two passages of scripture is that without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is the only way a man can be saved, and that faith must be in Christ as the Son of God, as the historical Jesus of Nazareth, who came to this earth, lived on this earth, died on a Friday, but was resurrected on the third day. But this was all based on the scripture. I take from this that as I go forward, the power of the Lord's power for salvation is in the scripture. Even Jesus himself was saying in John chapter 5, he would make known the fact. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. You must understand that the scripture is very important. The third thing that I want you to see is in verse number 17, and I want to look at this because now he talks about the accompanying signs that will follow. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. And my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, set at the right hand of God. And the Bible says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. In this verse 17 through verse number 18, notice he says, these signs shall accompany them. There are at least five things that I want to bring to your attention as we discuss verse number 17. Notice, first of all, that the signs that will follow them that believe. I want the context to show that the context of Jesus' statement is the apostles of the 11 apostles. Notice the Bible says, going back to verse number 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. So the context of his statement is with the apostles. Notice verse number 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. So in verse 14, the apostles are present when he makes these statements. Verse number 20, when he says concerning the signs, he says, and they, talking about the apostles, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, the apostles, confirming the word with signs following and signs accompanying. So the first thing that I want us to notice with verse number 17, when he talks about these signs, the idea of them casting out devils, speaking with tongues, taking up serpents, and drinking deadly things, that these are in the context of the apostles going forward and preaching the word of God, being confirmed by these signs. Now, the second thing that I want you to see based on verse 17 and verse number 18, the question that I want to raise, did these signs follow the apostles? Were they able to perform these miraculous signs? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. Now, notice on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse number 43, and fear came upon every soul. Here it is, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So when you read in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 17, I hope I have shown you that the context in which that verse was, those words were stated, it was in the context of the apostles, based on verse 14 and verse number 20. When we come to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42 and especially 43, the Bible says many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I want you to go with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 11. And I want you to hear the Apostle Paul as he actually seeks to vindicate himself and his apostleship and to help them to understand that I am truly an apostle. Notice how he does it. He said, I am become a fool. I'm in verse number 11. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me. I don't want to brag, but I'm going to have to tell you. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. And he says that because he persecuted the church. But in verse number 12, notice what he says. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Just as the other apostles performed signs, wonders, and mighty deeds, I too have been able to convince you of my authenticity by signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 2, and I want verse number 1, and I want you to see this. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word, watch this, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Here again, he's talking about the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ being preached to all nations for the forgiveness of men's sins, allowing men to be able to come into a relationship of reconciliation with God. How shall we escape, he says in verse number 3, if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed, here's our word, confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, he's talking about the apostles, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So when I read in Mark 16 and verse number 17, these signs shall follow them that believe, I see from the scripture that these signs did follow and accompany the apostles. These signs and miracles were their seal of approval by God. This is nothing unusual, for when God sent Moses into Egypt to tell Pharaoh that he wanted his people to be let go and freed, Moses asked the question, how will they believe me? God gave him two signs. God said, put your hand in your bosom. It became a leprous hand. Put your rod on the ground, and it became a serpent. God told Moses that when they see these signs, they will believe that you are from God, and they will believe the word that you are bringing. These signs and these wonders and miracles were for the purpose of confirming the word of God. Not only confirming the word of God, but confirming the men who were bringing the word of God. These 12 men. And so the question comes, well, Brother Gibbs, I understand that the apostles, but here's another question. Does every believer perform these miracles? When you read Mark chapter 16 and verse number 17, notice how it reads. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Well, I'm a believer. Do these signs follow me? I'm a believer. You're a believer. Are you able to drink deadly poison and it not hurt you? I hope you don't. But anyway, are you able to take up serpents and they not hurt you? Are you able to speak in tongues? Notice, does every believer perform these miracles simply because he's a believer? Well, I want to appeal to at least three events in Scripture that will help us to see that everybody did not perform these miracles. But there were those outside of the apostles who did perform these miracles. So the apostles weren't the only ones who performed signs and wonders, but others did so. Go with me now to Acts 6. And this is the gospel as it was preached among the Jews. In Acts chapter 6 and verse number 5, you know how the gospel brought the church of Jerusalem into being. But notice in verse number 5 of Acts 6, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. This is when the Grecian widows were being neglected. And they were to bring forth men who would service this need. But watch this. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, of the Holy Ghost, Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And watch this. And when they had prayed they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased. The word of God increased. And the Bible says, disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Verse number 8 is crucial. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Here is a man outside of the apostles who is performing great wonders and miracles among the people. I want you to go with me to Acts 8, and I want to look at verse number 5. Now, this is moving from the Jewish people to the Samaritans. And now Philip moves to Samaria. If you know anything about the book of Acts, the gospel, the great gospel, the news of the gospel was to begin in Jerusalem, go to Judea, then go to Samaria, and then go to the uttermost part of the earth. So what God is doing, he is moving geographically from Jerusalem and Judea. Now he is moving them to Samaria. Well, he picks a preacher by the name of Philip. Watch this. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria in Acts 8:5 and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Remember, miracles and signs were to confirm the word. Miracles and signs don't save, but the word saves. So the word is what's important. The word is what needs to be preached in order for people to be saved. The gospel is what needs to be preached in order for people to be saved. And so that's what Philip preached. But notice now, the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many which were possessed by them. Many taken with palsies and were lame. Were healed, and there was great joy in the city. But a certain man called Simon, which before in that same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. And but I want you to drop down to verse number 13. Now I want you to watch this Simon. Then Simon himself believed also. Now watch this. Simon believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondering, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. He's not following Philip because of what he heard. He's following him because of those signs and those miracles. Well, you're not surprised because he'd been tricking the people with sorcery. Now he sees the authentic thing happening, and so he wants to know, how does that happen? But watch this, verse number 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying, now this is crucial, Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Before I get to verse number 19, I want to make the point that Philip, Stephen, outside of the ranks of the apostles, who were able to work miracles and perform signs, these individuals had the hands of the apostles laid on them. Even in this context, when Simon saw through the laying on the hands of the apostles that the Holy Ghost was given, he said, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. You're not one of those who are chosen to administer this type of blessing to individuals in the body of Christ. You can't lay your hands on people and they received the Holy Spirit. Who was able to do this? The apostles. The apostles were the ones who were able to do this. You can also reference another passage of scripture, ladies and gentlemen, which is in Acts 19. You go there and you look at that, and you will see even the apostle Paul was able to lay hands on men of Ephesus who had not yet heard whether that be in the Holy Ghost, and they also received this gift of speaking in tongues. But then I want to say to you, well, let's go back to the question. Does every believer perform these miracles? No. Who does? The apostles. Who does? Those on whom the apostles lay hands. Now, I want to appeal to another passage. Go with me now to a church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to look at verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 4. Here you see what is called spiritual gifts, which I believe are these signs and these miraculous gifts. But watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Are you with me? To profit withal. For to one is given the what? The Spirit, the word, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. To another, faith, but by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirit. To another, diverse kinds of tongue. To another, interpretation of tongue. Here's what I see, that there were those individuals in the Corinthian church by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, that were given these spiritual gifts. But not all the members worked the same or had the same spiritual gifts. That's why he says to one, wisdom, the word of wisdom. To another, knowledge. To another, healing. In other words, everybody didn't have the same gift. I will also say everybody in that congregation didn't have one of these gifts. But notice this, the Bible says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, gave to each man according to his will what spiritual gift he desired. I believe these to be miraculous gifts. Are you with me? Now, it is apparent that the miraculous gifts and signs are limited, and not all possess the miraculous endowment. Laying on of the hands of the apostles was one method by which they were enabled to do so. It is not specifically stated that this was the method in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But inasmuch as we have seen it evidenced in other passages, and you will find that even the Apostle Paul, who was the one who established this church with the preaching of the gospel, he is the one who, through the laying on of his hands, was able to administer these gifts to these individuals. Now, when you look at this now, you're going to see in verse number, watch this, verse number 27, drop down to verse number 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 27. The Bible says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, governments, diversities of tongues. But then here's the question, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gift. Now those questions, the answer to each one of them is no. That's why he asked them the way they did. It's obvious that you're not all apostles. It's obvious you're not all prophets. It's obvious that you're not all teachers. It's obvious that you all don't work miracles. But he said, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show unto you a more excellent way. I want to show you a more excellent way than all of these. So when you ask the question, do all believers work these miracles? Not in the New Testament, they didn't. The apostles and those in the Corinthian church. And then you see these gifts in 1 Corinthians or in the Corinthian church. But then the fourth question I want to ask before my time is up, are these miracles performed today by believers? Well, I'm going to tell you that if they are, you haven't seen them, and I haven't either, because I haven't seen anybody do these, not the way they were done in the New Testament. But there's a reason. Watch this now. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 8, watch what the Bible says. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Chapter 13 is in response to chapter 12. These gifts that were in part, where they were severally given to each individual, they were in part. But here's what he says. He says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away these childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth, watch this, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is three. In the context of 1 Corinthians 13, the apostle is discussing that which is abiding and that which is ending. What will abide? The most excellent way, love. What will abide? Faith. What will abide? Hope. What will end? That which is in part. What's in part? The miraculous spiritual gifts. When that which is perfect is come. What is that which is perfect? In this translation of the New Testament, you have to understand that which is in part has no reference to Jesus himself, but it has reference to the complete revelation of the Word of God. When one receives the complete revelation of the Word of God, then those things that are in part shall be done away with. Now, when did this take place? It had to take place when all the apostles who had the word confirmed to us, had the word confirmed to us by them working these miracles, took the pen of inspiration, wrote the New Testament. Now that we have the New Testament, which has been confirmed by these men, there's no need for us to keep confirming the word that has already been confirmed. When you read in Hebrews chapter 2, watch this now, the Bible says, how shall we escape, I'm in verse number 3, if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness with both signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So the word of God was confirmed. We have the confirmed word of God. Now, as I close, there are some people who want to know, well, how do these signs follow us? The same way. They follow us the same way that the miracles of Jesus follow us. Jesus is not here to perform his miracles anymore, but here's what the Bible says in John 20 and verse number 30. The Bible said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you what? Might believe. That's why, hear me well, when Jesus told Thomas to put forth his hand in his hand and in his side, and Thomas said, my Lord, my God, this is what Jesus said to him. He said, Thomas, you believe because you have seen, but blessed are those who will believe who have not seen. In other words, there's coming a day that people are going to have to believe on me by the written testimony of those who have seen me. And that's why John 20 and 30 and 31 is so important. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The only way that you'll ever believe that Jesus is the Christ is based on the testimony of what's written. And if you ever get away from what's written, then you are in trouble. There are a whole lot of folk around here trying to claim that they're prophets and claim that they got some spiritual insight. If it's not predicated on the word, I'm talking about the written word of God, you ought to tell that person, back up, get back in the book. Anybody who brings you something other than what's written, I would not trust it, because the word of God has already been confirmed. One more passage. I want to go to the Old Testament. I want to show you how God works. In Exodus 10, verse 1 and 2. Exodus 10, verse 1 and 2. I want to show you this, and then I'm through. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show, watch this now, that I might show these what? These my what? Signs what? Before him. And that thou mayest, watch the word, tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. So the future generations of the Jews were to know by what was written, what had already been confirmed by the sign. You and I, in the New Testament, these signs follow us, but they are written, and those written signs, they follow us even to this day. And so the way that I am convinced that the gospel is the gospel is by the testimony of those who were in that day. Well, may God bless you, and if you're here this morning, subject to the Savior's invitation, you've heard the gospel, believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sin, confess Christ to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water of grave of baptism. That is the gospel. That's why he said, preach this gospel, because that's the only way a man can be saved, is to believe the resurrection is the greatest miracle that ever will or has ever been performed. On that third day when he got up and said, all power, heaven and earth is given unto me, that was the miracle that saves the world. And if you don't believe that one, you will not believe any others. That's why they are written. May God bless you. Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come? Restore my